All right, I don't usually start right off by sharing my title, but the title today is, Have You Washed Any Feet Lately? Okay. Well, I've kind of told the story in the past here, but it's been just about 10 years exactly that my boss and I had been talking for a little bit, and we came up with a way so that I no longer had to work 5 days a week. I could only work 3 days a week. That's been 10 years. And I've shared with you that as that was coming into fruition, I was very thankful because I'd longed for some extra time that I could do some things that you just can't, it's hard to do when you're working 5 days a week, 40 plus hours a week. It's hard to fit those in. And so, as I'm talking to God about this, I was thanking Him, but at the same time, I made a commitment to God. My new days off for the week were going to be Mondays and Wednesdays. And I told God that if this was to be, that one of those days was going to be set aside to serve others. And I've shared with you that you know, for many years, not just a few weeks, but for many years, Mondays was that day. And on Sunday afternoon, evening, or even first thing Monday morning, there was a lot of those. I don't know what I'm going to be doing on this Monday. And then the phone would ring. Like, oh, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be helping so-and-so put in this, or you know, going to get this for somebody or whatever it was. But my Mondays were filled with being able to help others, and I enjoyed it. And I think most of you know that here in 20, it wasn't just COVID that was going on that was, you know, rough on people. Here in Michigan, we had two dams that failed. And all that water came downstream and into Saginaw. And the Bames, not this Bames, but Jake's uncle and aunt, Tom and Barb, their house ended up with about a foot of water in it. And Tom and Barb are attending here because of COVID from Saginaw. And they'd been here for a couple months. And one day, Tom just kind of out of the blue just said, yeah, we're living out in my son-in-law's RV in our driveway. I said, what? He says, yeah, we're living in that just temporary. I said, why? He says, oh, our house flooded. What? When? Oh, a couple weeks ago. What? You know, he comes here and he doesn't share that, at least very easily. I said, what do you mean your house flooded? And they told me, and I'd heard about the dams breaking, but I had pieced it together that they had been affected or could have been affected. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He says, well, right now there's not much we can do. You know, there's a lot of homes that were affected by this. Every contractor is spoken for months. He says, and he said, but my son-in-law said they're going to come over and they're going to cut the drywall about 4 feet off the floor and we're going to replace that drywall. I said, well, I'm going to come up and help. So I show up on Monday, and of course the son-in-laws, they've already done all that work. They've gutted that 4 feet. It was pretty impressive. They did a good job, but there was a big problem. It wasn't drywall that they gutted. It was plaster and lath. And there was areas of it beyond the studs that was an inch and a half thick. There was other areas it was only 3/4 inch thick. And now you take a piece of 1/2 inch drywall and stick it up there, how are you going to feather that in? There's no way to do it. So I talked with Tom and Barb. I said, we need to gut your house. I said, there's benefit in that. We can replace all the wiring because some of the wiring has been damaged. It's easy to get to. I said, we can replace, you know, all the plumbing and update that at the same time. You know, their kitchen, all their cabinets sat in about a foot of water. So all the lower cabinets need to be replaced. And Tom was reluctant, but he says, you know, you're right. He says, I know there's some walls that don't have good insulation and we'd be able to fix it. And I said, yep, we'd be able to get that too. And so I spent the next year and a half, my Mondays and some of my Wednesdays, going over and getting to help Tom and Barb Boehm rebuild their house. And that was a huge blessing to me from the standpoint, I love doing that kind of work. And it was a drive, but we didn't know at the time Tom was going to be diagnosed with cancer. I hadn't got to spend that much time around, but when Tom and I got together, Tom was a man of God. He loved talking about God, and him and I could get into some really good conversations. We enjoyed those conversations. And their house got finished, and just a month or two later, he's gone. I got to spend the last year and a half with Tom Boehm. But this past year, I shared with you that I asked God about this, and he gave me okay, a green light. He blessed this activity with means. He allowed me to go after my pilot's license. Took me a little over a year. It's a lot of time, a lot of money. And in May, I got my pilot's license. And kind of during that same time frame, I'm thinking about the retirement I've announced as far as a goldsmith in February of 26. So I got just about a year and a half before I retire as a goldsmith. And in the back of my mind, I've gotten so used to this very generous paycheck that God blessed our family with that is never ceasing. Every week I get this wonderful paycheck from this wonderful family, and I know that's coming to an end. So in my mind, it's like I have to replace that paycheck. God didn't tell me I had to. I talked to God about retiring, when and if I should, and he said okay to that, and I've shared the story where he found a replacement. Not just anybody, not just somebody that's capable of being a replacement for me, for the Haar family, but another believer. That I get a phone call out of the blue one day, it just says, Aaron, I've heard that you're a goldsmith, I'm a blacksmith, I'd like to learn how to work with precious metals. Could I stand over your shoulders for a couple hours? I said, yeah, you can do that. Well, let me tell you what's happening at work. And there's an opportunity here for a new career. And he says, that sounds amazing. Now Val's been with us for a little over a year. And he's working out fantastic. So I know God's blessed all of that. So why did I start thinking that I have to replace income? It's not that I shouldn't be considering that, because I don't know what God has in store for me. But recently I realized something's out of whack. Something is not right. God talks to us in many ways. We read of visions, dreams, an actual voice at times. And I've always said that for me, one of the first ways that I realized God would talk to me is that gut feeling. And a lot of times it's that gut feeling. It's way deep inside. It's like, something's not right. To the point where, am I supposed to be checking around the room? Is something about to happen? Something's not right. And over the last few months, I've had this nagging feeling, something's not right. What is it? My priorities have shifted. Over the last year plus, my Mondays haven't been filled with helping others. It's not that I didn't from time to time, but I was starting to renege on my promise I gave God. You and I were created to be caretakers of all of God's living creation. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You and I are to stock, replenish, subdue, dominate, manage God's creation. Not by man's standards. So the Save the Earth, the Green Movement, that's not God's standards. Whatever God's standard is, that's the way we're supposed to be going about this. Through his example, through Christ's example. So how would God have us going about being his caretakers? First, I need to understand his will and his laws, his principles. We need to keep them in practice, which means we need to be studying his word. We need to be building and maintaining a two-way relationship with God so that he can guide us in what he wants done with his creation. I hadn't thought about this much until I was putting this together, but in Genesis 1:28 there, we read something that should jump out to us every now and then. Like I said, it didn't to me. But we're to manage all living things on earth. I can be inquisitive about the moon or Mars or Jupiter, but God told me to put my priority on earth. So how much time would I be wasting to build a rocket ship to Pluto, which no longer exists as a planet, does it? But I must have a firm grasp of his will. Otherwise, I'm going to start inserting my own will. And 100% of the time, when I insert my own will over God's, it's a detriment to his creation. Second thing, in order to go about being stewards as God would have us over his creation, we must not only adhere to, but protect and project God's principles and not allow them to be diluted or deleted. As Creator, God and his Son are the only ones that we can go to and learn, be taught, be guided how to care for this planet and all the living things that are on it. It's his principles that are going to work. Principles like marriage, the family unit. If we decide to start tearing down, breaking down, forgetting, neglecting, deleting his principles, humanity will start to diminish. The third thing I wrote down, as his managers, we must put forth focused effort on the needs of creation around us. Go to John 13, verse 12. John 13, verse 12. After he had washed their feet and he'd put on a robe, he returned to the table and he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you are blessed only when and if you do them. Some of you have put forth effort this year into a garden, or at least a few plants, maybe out on the patio or something like that. So you got the soil ready. You tilled it. Maybe broke it up. You planted. Probably watered it to some extent. If you saw weeds, you started plucking those out of there, didn't you? Probably threw in some fertilizer of some sort, one time or another. But you also probably protected those plants. Was there early frost or late frost? Maybe covered them up a little bit. What about from insects or birds, the deer? Did you do something to kind of keep them away from your plants? Made sure that they got all the light that they needed, or not too much light. All very, very hands-on, right? Just like Christ's example of washing the disciples' feet. He got right in front of their face. Said, let me take off your shoes, your sandals. When we're in front of somebody's face, we have the opportunity to read their face, to listen to them, to ask them questions. We have opportunity to find out what their needs are. What's going on in their lives right now? But as we do that, we need to be willing to bow down, kneel down on our knees. Not just for prayer, but to get to the dirty stuff. To help them get through the nasty stuff. So have you been washing anybody's feet recently? You intentionally went and got in front of them, set aside some time that you could enter into some good conversation to find out, hey, what's going on? You doing all right? How did this turn out? What's going on with that? And just listen and see if there's something you could do. Go to Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. This is what I realized that I've been doing over the past year or so. I started letting my interests get in the way. And again, my interests weren't entirely wrong, but they're not to be the top priority. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Are we spending as much time as we should be looking after the needs of others? In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, let mutual love continue, said, we have to be reminded of that simple little sentence right there. Let mutual love continue. Because way too often, we allow our daily lives to overshadow that. Mutual love. That means somewhat equal love, but that means you're also the initiator of that love. Verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Do we look out for strangers? Pull up to Costco, to Myers, Kroger. You see somebody with a large basket or maybe a large item, need to get it out of the basket and put it in the car, but they're by themselves. Do you run over and help out? Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. We probably all know somebody that is going through a tough time. When we're going through a trial, it's like being in a prison. You're locked down. Something's holding you back from doing what you used to do, what you'd like to do, what you'd like to happen. People going through a trial, they have emotional needs. They could use some encouragement. They also have physical needs. If depression starts setting in, they're probably not taking care of themselves or the things around them the way they should or could. They're neglecting some things. It's not the time to start chastising about, well, you should be doing this. Why didn't you do that? Just say, let me help you do that. Verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Wrong relationships are a distraction, period. They come filled with the destruction of God's creation. You're tearing it down rather than building it up. Verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave or forsake you. As humans, we constantly want to chase after time and money. I've been great fault for this. I think I'm a little bit better today than what I had was years ago. But God tells us over and over, if we read his word, we try to study it, and we try to understand it, he tells us he's going to take care of us. He knows our needs. And it's not a case where he just simply wants to give us our needs. He wants to give us beyond our needs. He wants to bless us. But we need to be focused on the task he put before us for that blessing to come full circle to us. He also knows our ability. Says he won't give us something more than we can handle. And there's times when I'm probably not ready or capable of handling more money. I'm not ready or capable of handling more time. And so God just says, not right now. Maybe later. But he will bless us with our needs. And beyond that, he blesses us with his protection. Oh, I skipped a verse. Verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Again, he'll take care of our needs, but he also says he's going to protect us. Do we believe that? This election, it's already in turmoil. Is it going to be okay? Are you going to be okay? Are you going to be is your neighbor going to be okay? Is work going to be okay? Whatever it is it going to be okay? Is God watching over this? Yes, he is. This position I'm in sitting here. Every now and then I get a phone call and someone would like to be anointed. And more than likely, they have a contagious virus, disease, whatever it is. Am I supposed to say, I'll send you a cloth? No. Call for the elders, and the elders will come and anoint you. So I do, and I'll let God take care of whatever the ramifications are. Remember the Israelites, while they were wandering, some of them would get leprosy. And what did God tell them to do? There was a sequence of things that they had to follow through, and he involved the priests. And the priests were to check to see if the leprosy was gone or present. He protected those priests. But it's not just for those that sit in these positions. It's for you as well. He will protect. If you are out taking care of, you're being the custodian, the steward that you're supposed to be, he's protecting you. Doesn't mean that you're 100% immune to everything out there. He's protecting you, though. Romans 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we choose to be the creation that God intended, our motivation and our efforts become true worship of our Creator. Jump down to verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. We are to promote, thereby protect God's principles. We're to be an example. That means from time to time, we're going to have to figure out loving ways to say, no, there is only two genders. No, that is not marriage, male, male, or female, female. But then they should be able to look at us, our examples of marriage, of family, and go, but you guys always seem fairly happy and very usually comfortable. There seems to be some joy in your life. There seems to be some protection in your life. That's strange. Verse 10, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Like I said, over the last few months, I felt pressure to keep up with things in my life. The things I was placing in my life. I started neglecting what God would have me focus on. And when we start putting that pressure on ourselves, and it's us that's doing it, that pressure just keeps mounting, building. And then it becomes very easy, like I said earlier, for for us to be discouraged, for laziness to set in, continual disappointment. But then when you decide to make change, put the priorities that we should have back in place, even though there's more work involved, all of a sudden more strength comes involved, is blessed by God. There's new energy. There's a new peace. And rest does come about. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Again, it's only with that two-way strong relationship with God that we're going to find the accomplishment and peace in our roles as stewards. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. I shared a couple weeks ago with you that on the way back from the feast when I was younger in my teens, that a family from the church took us in. We were strangers, took us in for over a week into their home while our car was being worked on. And that really stuck with me. It stuck with me all these years. I enjoy doing the same thing when we have opportunity. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Our role is to continuously build up. Again, that tomato plant that you've cared for over the last handful of weeks, all of a sudden it shows a little bit of discoloration. Several leaves fall off. Do you just grab it, chuck it off into the woods? Nope. Nope, you look at it and you go, I wonder what's wrong with it. Huh, does it need more water? Does it need more light? Does it need fertilizer? There's bugs in here? How can I get rid of them? No, you figure out what can you do to save this plant. Do we put more effort into our tomato plants than we do our next door neighbor? Romans 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. God does bless us with additional wisdom. So maybe we are, in some instances, wiser than they. But we don't claim it. We don't thrust it upon them. We share with them. But their decisions are their decisions. It's between them and God. Verse 18, if at all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Again, we should be looking for needs, not an excuse why we shouldn't help them out, and not revenge. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on your heads. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It just told us that when our enemy is hungry or thirsty, we're to give it, that enemy, our needs. If we have shut the enemy 100% out of our lives, we don't look at them, we won't listen to them, there's no way you can see their needs or fulfill their needs. That's huge. I'm supposed to be paying attention to my enemy. That doesn't mean I agree with them. But I tried to build up. So what is the outcome if we go about this the way God intended? Go to Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. I'm not suggesting that we have to, Monday morning, run to the bank, take everything out, bring it here, sell everything we have and bring it here. But are you willing to do something like that? How far are you willing to go? Where's your line in the sand? We say, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Do you have a good enough relationship with God where you can go to him and say, did you just ask me to do this big thing that I'm not certain if I should do it? Will you give me strength to do what you'd have me do? Will you show me the timing I need to know about? Will you give me the words that I need to know? Will you give me the attitude I need? But the other thing that this early church that we just read about, think about that environment that we just read about. It's a very brief description. Sounds pretty nice. But that environment, the joy that was in it, the peace that was in it, the comfort that was in it, the safety that was in it. This environment here, is this the place where we are energized, that we do find comfort and safety and peace and joy? Are we doing everything we can to make such both while we are here and throughout the week? Because in verse 46, it says, day by day, they spent much time together in the temple, but they also broke bread at home. That means throughout the week, the brethren in that early century, first century church, they were spending as much time together as they could, sharing with each other. And I've told you this before. That does happen here. I've been told it when people walk in the door. I think some people have shared it with you, that there is peace and comfort here. I'm not saying that we're lacking something, but I'm sure if we wanted to make sure our priorities are truly where they're supposed to be, there's some areas where we could make improvements. Acts 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having the goodwill of all the people, And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Another miraculous blessing. If we're going about doing this the way He would have us, He's going to multiply it. The effort we put in tomorrow we'll have another teammate to help us out. There's needs all around us. Our hearts, ears, and eyes open to them 24/7. Or do we get to use the excuse, no, for 40 hours, for 27 hours, not when I'm on vacation, not around those people. God asked us to be stewards over His living creation 24/7. We're not to neglect the young or the old. Or any other category. We're to get to know them, including our enemies. Only then will we be able to put forth the effort that's needed. Our time is short. We need to prioritize our time. God will help us with it. But we're going to be judged as to how we stewarded all that He left in our hands. Let's finish up in 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. And like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received.